Jesus, it's a privilege to speak to you, that you can join us here, that you desire to have communication with us. And I just want to thank you for making all this possible by volunteering your life and dying for each one of us. Let us never forget that no matter what befalls us in this life, there's one thing we can hang on to, that God died for me. God died for us. And Jesus, we thank you that we can say that confidently, that we're loved dearly by you. I ask that this message would encourage others to take you seriously and would encourage anyone who wants to be strengthened in faith and to just grow in your words. I hope and pray that this message is that kind of encouragement. Lord Jesus, I just say all these things in your name. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can catch me on Audioboo. The iTunes search query can bring me up for a podcast at michaelryansbooz.com, B-O-O-S. You can also go to letsworshipjesus.com and see some stuff there I have on different things that we go through in this life. But I want to jump right into the scriptures in 2 Corinthians. See, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's just join the Lord in his word right now and let it minister to us. Just let it sit in your heart and let him speak to you through this. This is his word. We're with the Lord right now in his word. It doesn't matter when you're listening to this, we're in his word together. So let's just take it as such. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I think this is something that a lot of us have read, and we've heard the Lord say this to us at some point. But it's really, I thought it really important to revisit here that God is instructing us and that he's teaching us. He's saying to you right now, look, you are in the flesh. You walk in the flesh. You have a body. But don't try to use body, worldly, physical things in order to fight against what's going on in your life. Don't let that be your primary source of warfare. Yes, we live in a world of physical things, things that we can see, but the things that get us, the things that really impact our life are spiritual. And therefore, let's use spiritual weapons. Let's use spiritual warfare. And I really think that in Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we get into the specifics of how do we fight? How do we pick up our weapons and fight this fight? You know, you are going to read in Ephesians 6 about how to wrestle against the principalities and spiritual forces that go against us. But you know, what we're going to read is also very useful to deal with our own flesh. This is how we can fight against our own temptations, the stuff that comes out of our own hearts. This is a way that you can fight against trials and situations that arise in your life. And I'm talking about jobs, careers, just confusion, dealing with a death, dealing with hearing bad news about a sickness or something happening. What we're going to read here with the Lord, he really wants to speak to you about that he has an answer for everything. He has an answer in his word, and he wants to share that with you. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and see how do we specifically fight with spiritual weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. This is a prescription for you. You know, you go to the doctor and they write up a prescription for your problem. You give them the list of your symptoms and they say, okay, I know what's going on. They write you a prescription. This is the prescription. This is it, and applying it is actually going down to the Rite Aid, getting the medication and taking it, right? And that's what we need to do. Take this, because this is your ticket out of temptation. This is your way to fight the enemy. This is your way to fight the enemy with inside of you. This is the way to fight the world, the horrible circumstances that happen from just being a human being. Verse 10 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's so evident that as you grow as a Christian, as a believer, you come to realize how weak you are, how difficult it is for you to do the right thing, how it seems like pulling teeth to follow the things that God instructs you to do. And when you take a look at yourself, it's clear, your weaknesses. But verse 10 opens up by saying, look, be strong. Be strong. You know, it reminds me of when Joshua took over for Moses back in the Old Testament, and Moses was leading the people, and he had a rough time leading those people. They were very stubborn and rebellious. I mean, he loved them dearly. He would constantly intercede for them, for God, but he really was having a challenging time. And Joshua was watching him. Joshua was going to be the one to take over, and when Joshua came on the scene after Moses died, God encouraged him and said, listen, be courageous, be strong. And he said that just the first chapter of Joshua is God encouraging him over and over again, be courageous, be strong. Because I bet you Joshua's thinking, I'm not cut out for this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Same thing that Moses was saying. But so many times God is saying to him, be strong. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And I feel like that's what he's saying to you. This is what's here for you. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Not your own passion, not your own will. And this is how you put on the full armor, not the partial armor. Not like just the parts that are really shiny. The full armor of God. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And look, he throws thousands and thousands and thousands of schemes all day long. Was it the devil personally? Well, maybe it is. He has a legion of just demons. So we know from Daniel that there were certain areas, provinces that demons controlled. You know, from reading the book of Daniel, he was praying to God, and an angel came and told him, "Look, I had to delay because I was over here fighting, you know, a demon from this over province." I mean, this is a spiritual world we live in. And there are constant things against us. You know, my wife and I were talking just yesterday, and she was saying to me that, you know, it's like Satan just, it's like a fish, the way you go fishing. And how do you know bait works? Well, you keep throwing out something until someone bites it. And once you know that victim bites it, you just keep throwing it out all the time. And that's exactly what Satan does to you. This is what he does to you and I. He just throws it out. And we'll fall for it every time, except if we're putting on the full armor of God. See, the full armor of God ensures that you will be able to stand and even stand against your temptations the thing you do when no one's watching, the thing you are triggered by and inclined to do automatically, the full armor of God will protect you from that. It gets in the way between you and the flesh. Let God stand between you and the flesh. Let God stand between you and the enemy. And let God, Jesus Christ, stand between you and the world. So we continue on here. The full armor of God is, there's a list of things, really. But all of them are important. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the word of God and the scriptures, praying in the spirit, being alert and praying for other people. These are the elements of armor. The elements of armor. And they're God-focused. That's why they're called the armor of God. It really would be good for you to just sit and pay attention to what God is telling you right here in these few verses. Truth says in verse 14, having girded your loins with truth. It's a belt. You know, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you wash your hair, you do all these different things. You put on your pants, you put your belt on. That secures your pants. The belt is truth. And Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth. Right? I am the life. He is your truth. So often, one of the ways we can fall by the wayside, by the world, by our flesh, or by the enemy, is by starting to believe a lie, just like Eve did, right? You start to kind of question what it is that God told you. And we have to go back to the truth, which is why the scriptures are so important. The scriptures gives you the right perspective on what is truth. And it's important for you to remember, what is really true right now? What am I believing right now that's a lie? If you haven't asked yourself that question in a while, then you've probably been believing lies. You've got to be able to stop yourself. What is it that's true? Second, righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Scripture teaches that in 1 Corinthians 30 and Jeremiah 33, 14 through 16, God predicts that he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. He's going to give us the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he will be our righteousness. It says that in Jeremiah 33. You know, our righteousness is him. And it's so important to remember that, because you're going to see your own flaws. The enemy is going to bring up your flaws. The world is going to outline your flaws when you see someone who's better than you. You know, your own convictions and your own flesh is going to bring up your flaws. But you remember, your righteousness, your purity is in Christ. Your value is in Christ. And your righteousness is in Christ. And guess what? Righteousness is power. Righteousness is power. Righteousness is your inclination, your making up your mind to do good. And that comes from looking at Christ. He already did all the good. He already did all of it. Now you go ask him to strengthen you and empower you to do the same. But it must start with Jesus Christ. So when you're trying to make the right decision, when you're trying to figure out, you know, when you're trying to order your steps and beat a temptation, the first thing you go to is, Jesus, you're my righteousness. You pay for my sin. Incline me. Incline me to follow your word. Just remembering your base is in him. He died for you to give you permanent righteousness. Peace. Seek peace. Do and say and think about things that bring peace. Philippians chapter 4 says, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is with good report, whatever is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds and your hearts through Jesus Christ, right? It's peace. Set your mind on peace. Do things that bring peace. Don't say or do things that aren't going to bring peace. Now, there are times that we have to maybe share things from our faith or be obedient to God in a way that won't bring peace, perhaps between someone in a relationship or maybe at your job. Maybe doing the right thing is not going to bring peace. I'm not talking about that. That's following the Lord. But I'm saying, you know, always pursue peace. That's part of the armor. Doing things that bring about peace, seeking peace, pursuing it. Faith. Faith is your cornerstone. That's the next part of the armor. You know, scripture says that that faith comes through the hearing of the word, right? In Romans 10, faith comes through hearing of the word of Christ. And that's how you've got to build up your faith. That's how you got to build it up. Listening to the word all day long. It says in 1 Peter, like newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word. That is what you need to build your faith. the Word of God. You've got to be listening to Jesus Christ's words. You've got to, and let it build your faith. And Jude, it says, building up on your most holy and precious faith by prayer. Praying helps to build up your faith. No wonder that those two things, the Word and praying, are also parts of the armor. Your faith is how you access every single good thing that God has for you. You must build your faith. You must build it. That's the currency of your value in God. When Jesus Christ talks about in Luke 12, the man who built up all these riches for himself and got so rich, he's like, you know what? Let me just build a bank to contain all my riches. Let me just build a nice bank. And then God said, you fool, I'm taking your life this very day. And Jesus says, so is it with those who are rich towards them, who are not rich towards God. And if you want to be rich towards God, build your faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 says that your faith is precious, more precious than iPhones, iPods, Mercedes-Benzes, mansions, high refund checks, banging salaries. It's the most precious thing you have. Be rich towards God in it. Your salvation, that's another part of your armor. Remembering whose you are. When Paul was talking to people in 1 Corinthians 6, they were doing all these sinful things, and he said to them, Don't you get it? You were washed. You were cleaned. You were bought with a price. You're not yours. 2 Corinthians 5 says he died so that those who live should live no longer to themselves, but for him who died and rose for them. That we are not our own. We belong to God. Jesus Christ says, he has given you in my hand, and I will not lose you. You're his. Put that helmet on your head. I am the Lord's. He owns me. I am his prized possession. He is in love with me. I am the apple of his eye. Go back and read Song of Solomon and just see that love that God is trying to show that he has for you. You're his. He saved you. He preserved you. He did all that for you. He bled for you. It's a personal love. It's not just a generic, plain love for everybody. It's very personal. Very personal. So it's important you put that on when you're on with your armor. The Word of God, that's the next piece. We just talked about it. The Scriptures, you must read and obey the Scriptures. You've got to obey. I know it's tough. I know it is. But just obey it. Read it. Obey it. All throughout the day. Make sure you're memorizing Scripture. You're bringing it up to yourself. When a situation comes, bring up the Scripture. Even this Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, with being strong and standing in the might of the Lord. When things come your way, remember that Scripture. Jesus Christ says in John 8 that those who hear my word and continue in it, they are truly my disciples. He says in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I do? And this is what I say. You know, when his family in Luke 8:12 are coming to him, people are saying, oh, your family's here. He says, who's my family but those who hear the word of God and do it? So you've got to be that person that hears the word of God and you do it. You've got to read it all day. It's your nutrition all day long. It's your spiritual nutrition, the word of Christ. It says in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So get in the word. It's non-negotiable that you need to be. And that's how you know him, by being in his word, reading it and applying it. And lastly, praying in the spirit for others and being alert. That is how you stay on top of your game. Be praying, be discerning, be asking God, talking to him, listening to him through his word, right? Everything builds on top of the other. It's truth and righteousness and peace and faith. All that plays into each of these categories. Being alert, praying for other people. You can be on your guard by praying for other people. Someone's offending you, pray for them. Pray for them. Bless and do not curse. That's good for you. You see, Satan wants to have you have bitter thoughts. But all these things are going to help you. All of these things. And we couldn't go much into it. I have only a short amount of time, but let's just close up in prayer. And just, Lord, I hope that this was a blessing. Whoever heard it, that they would put on the full armor of you, Jesus, and they would stand firm against everything, the enemy, the flesh, the world. They would realize that these are spiritual weapons that are powerful. If they would just apply it, Lord, strengthen the faith of everyone listening. If they're downcast, if they're broken, if they're encouraged and they're happy, give them what they need, Jesus. In your name, we pray and honor you. Amen.